Amen. Let's go straight into God's word. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 7. I want to use this word a lot to give this some background. Pastor, for the past four weeks, I've been listening to all the sermons that you've been delivering. At this point, I need to say this. How many of you know there's a section on the website where Pastor uploads all the messages that are preached? How many of you visit that section? Because for once, you can now be in control of Pastor. You can pause, you can rewind, you can pause again, you can go to the exact position you want to hear again and play it over and over and over and over again. Amen. For the past four weeks I've been, because my Tuesdays and Wednesdays are such that I around lunchtime I can just, and then my new school, because in my old school, if I go onto Healing Springs, it's just a website, access denied. But in my new school, I just checked a couple, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and it opened, and since then, I've been following and listening. And a couple of weeks ago, I started studying James, and then God did something through Pastor, and that's where I want us to go. James chapter 4 and verse 7, that's where I'm going to pick up from today. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then Pastor read from the Amplified, which added some more light. It says, stand firm. Stand firm. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because two occasions in the school, that the first one, it was a boy. The teacher told him what to do, and he said, it, not being rude, not being cocky, he just said it straight, no, sir. Look, the teacher squared and said, no, sir. The teacher went ballistic, shouting. The child just kept looking at him. Said, no, sir. That's how to be firm. Huh? The devil is shouting, you're not going to be able to pay your rent. You're not going to be able to. Just stand firm. Stand. After you've resisted him, after you've submitted to God, after you know God's word that you're standing on, irrespective of what it may look like, as long as you have his word, the victory is yours already. All you have to do is stand firm. He cannot. And then it seemed as if that teacher was about to hit that child. But of course, we know as teachers, that's against the law. Shouting, but the child just stood there. Said, no, sir. Another one was a girl. She was asked to leave the classroom. And she said, no, I'm not leaving. And this was, I think this was the head teacher now came and went close, trying to negotiate to get her to leave. She looked and said, no. That's how to stand firm. He'll come, after you shouted and nothing has worked, he'll now try to bring some careless thoughts, try to negotiate with you. He's trying to get you to drop that word. No, just stand. No. You see, when you have God's word concerning that situation, you don't need to shout. You don't need to exert anything physically. Because the victory is yours already. You just stand firm. Say, no. We have this mentality that spiritual warfare. You have to exert. No. You don't have to exert anything physical. Nothing. He's a defeated foe. And for some to be that defeated, but he still tries. If God was given awards before he sends him to the lake of fire, he needs to win the award of resilience. Because that guy can be, but he's defeated. He knows he's defeated. He knows he's been stripped. He knows he has no weapon. But yet, he'll try his best. But once you have his word concerning that situation, and you have submitted to that word, and you have resisted him, just stand firm. Kenneth Hagin says, if you are ready to stand forever, you won't be standing long before God turns up. Amen. If you made up your mind, this time, 6 months, I'll still be standing and saying the same thing. You might not need to wait 6 months before God turns up in your on your case. Amen. And I think that because even though I thought I did a study of James, And I you know, it's so easy to gloss over God's word and then, you know, just miss out the little deal. That is what makes that verse complete. And it's, I thank God for Amplified, because without the Amplified adding that stand firm. You say, okay, yes, I submit to God. I resist the devil. But stand firm. Stand. He can't do you. He can't do anything. He comes like a roaring lion. Like. It's not a roaring lion. In Psalm 23, it says, shadow, the valley of the shadow. It's a shadow. Even though I must admit the circumstances he brings our way, it seems as though, but as long as you're ready to stand firm, as long as you're ready to stand firm, he will show up. And I have a testimony, because he tried, I think it was four or five Fridays ago, I started feeling achy in my lower back. My wife said it's because ever since she started working last year, I rocked my daughter to bed. And there's some days she fall asleep in 10 minutes. There's some days after 2 hours I'm rocking. She still, she will lie down as though she's out church. You don't want to sleep. So I was saying the ache in my lower back was as a result of me rocking. I said, no, it's not. It's the devil. He'll pack his thing and go. I think it was three Sundays ago. And that pain became excruciating. That's the word I use, excruciating. If I sit still, I won't feel it. But the moment I move, and to stand up, it got to put my standing up. I have to stand up for like a, what's it called? 2 minutes just to stand up because of the pain. My wife was like, ha, are you sure? The devil tried, you know. Very soon you won't be able to walk. You won't be able to go to work. You get painted so many pictures. But glory be to God, I know, he's picked the wrong person. I know that healing is not something I pray for. I'm not going to ask God, oh God, heal me. That's too late. He has healed me already. I just had to stand firm. And I thank God, because my new job, I walk to work. The temptation was very high to drive. I said, no. It's someone that has back pain. I'm going to walk. I walked. I remember, I think one of those evenings, I was walking back home. I remember the testimony of Kenneth Hagin when God healed him eventually from the bed. He said he stood up, but he had no strength. He fell. And then he didn't know where these words came from. He just said, I receive my healing in my body. And all of a sudden, he started feeling strength in his whole body. I said, let me try that one too. As I was walking, every step I took, I could feel the pain. I said, Father, I receive the healing that is mine. The first time I said, as if the pain just whoosh. I was like, this thing works. That's what I kept on saying. It got to the point in between. I had to find, what's it called? what are they called? Physiotherapist. Mr. O in a physiotherapist's office. I went for 2 sessions. But glory be to God, I can do what I couldn't do a few weeks ago. He's a liar. He even painted the picture of me in wheelchair. The one day I come for service, they wheel me in. I said, no, not me. I stood firm, and I'm still standing firm. And glory be to God, the evidence that healing is mine is that it is written. Amen. It is written. It is written. Let him go and fight with what is written. If you can argue God and argue him success, then bring that sickness, then I'll receive it. But that can't happen. So glory be to God. You stand firm. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I have a strong feeling if you wrap up now, everyone has been blessed. And that's all we need to do. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. And watch what you say. I could have been tempted to say, God allowed the back pain to happen to me because he knows where he's taking me to. He wants to give me a strong healing ministry. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell. and one thing I didn't do is, God, why did you allow that? But even if I asked him, I'm sure, and I was ready to listen, he would have told me when he was trying to get through to me because all of a sudden God has delivered me from rocking my daughter. Not because she's greater age that she's heavy, but we found my daughter and I we've arrived at a point of agreement. I now sit down, rock her. She sleeps. I put her in the bed, so I don't have to stand. I don't have to stand to do that. Yes, you need to watch what you say. Huh? God does not listen. God does not use unpleasant circumstances to train you. It sounds very scriptural and very holy that God allowed that to happen because he saw where you were going through and he was trying to prepare you for it. That's a lie. It's a lie. If God is going to train you, he would do it with his word. He would train you with his word. He does not need circumstances to train you. He doesn't use those circumstances to train you. He uses his word. It is when we've missed opportunities to be trained by his word. The door has been opened, the devil comes. And God did not send the devil. People quote Job. Say how God allowed the devil to. No. God, go and read Job. God said, behold. He said, look. He has always been in your power. He has always been there. Look, behold. God did not say, okay, yes, you go on. No. No. And then one other one that I am fighting. God does not test us with bad things. God doesn't. Because at first I was saying, no, God doesn't test us. He tests his word. Because it's his word. He wants to make sure that what he has said his word can do, it will do to the person who holds on. So it's the word he tests. Until I read about Abraham. Because God did test him. But God did not test him by killing Isaac. You need to get that mentality out of your mind. That car accident, God was testing. Shut up. You missed an opportunity to stand on. You missed an opportunity to be trained and prepared. I am 100% certain God tried to get through to you. Either to slow you down or saying that journey was unnecessary. You didn't need to go to work that morning. Up, you know, some of the survivors of the Twin Towers, God told them, don't go in today. And they heard and they stayed at home and today they're still alive. We need to stop that. I read something on Facebook. It says, nothing grows without water. So thank God for the storms. No. Nothing grows without rain. So thank God for the storms of life. I said, this devil, he needs an award before God sends him to the lake of fire. Rain, storm. How do you bring the two together? I had to reply. I said, you pick one or two. Then you have to start by saying nothing grows without storm. That is why we thank God for the storms of life. That makes sense. Now that is even you don't need to use that is mentally correct. You can't start with rain, saying nothing grows without rain, and then start saying, oh, thank God for the no. We need to graduate and learn how to speak. Praise God. God doesn't test. Okay, if he's going to test you, yes, he'll tell you. Empty your bank account and bring it to Healing Springs. Now that is a test. That is a good test. But I'm not saying. But if God has been. Okay, let me, Mr. O, stop. Amen. God won't. What's it called? Kick you out of job and say, I'm testing you. No. God was warning you. You didn't hear. But the good thing is, even in that position, he will find you the way of escape. Amen. He will still find you the way of this. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort you. So even in that position, he's still with you. But bear in mind, when God wants to train you, he will train you with his word. He will train you with his word. And it is when the training from his word is absent. That's when you have to know that guy has got many years under his belt. That's when you allowed him in. Amen. Praise God. And that leaves me with the two things I'm taking from 2018. I started the year saying, I read it on Kenneth Copeland's, the calendar he sends his partners for the month of January. He says, if you are ready, if you are prepared to pray in the Holy Ghost long enough, you'll receive answers to every question you have. So I'm taking that. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And the second one is, if you can hear, once you can hear from God, that's it. You don't have a problem anymore. As long as you can hear from God. So the two things I'm doing in 2019. I'm training myself to spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying for wisdom. And I'm not just going to, because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you have to end it by saying, I believe I receive the manifestation of God's wisdom I've declared I believe I receive the wisdom of God I've declared in a mystery. And the second thing, I'm going to train myself to be able to hear. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. He says every, not the one you heard. Every word that proceeds from God's word. Now God knows the quality of the life you live is dependent on his voice or his word that you hear. That's it. I'm training myself to hear. Because once I can hear him, and part of the things he tells you is, you need to watch it, or you need to do this, or you need to do this, because he can see what the trap the devil has laid in front, so that I can walk through it and not to happen. Or if I don't hear that one, even in the trap the devil laid, if I'm still trained to hear, I'll hear. And that will be your victory. Amen. That is your victory. If you can hear from God, if you can hear from heaven, that is your victory. That is your victory. I think I've shared this testimony here once. There's a new expressway in Nigeria. My dad used it to go and visit one of our cousins. And on his way back, there is a new expressway. His Mercedes-Benz is fairly, well maintained. It's quite old. I think it's a 98 model, but it's well maintained. So my father thought, yes, let's put foot down. Until lo and behold, roundabout in front of him. Ha! He applied all the brakes he could. The people in the car started shouting, Jesus. Somehow he maneuvered, God delivered him. He maneuvered around. When he got home, he called my cousin, and I was having a go at my cousin. Ha! This Nigeria, we're very bad. How can you construct such a fine road and not warn us that the roundabout is coming? My cousin said, sir, there are three ones. I'm going to say what I told him. And my father is again, he had to be very careful. He had to be very humble to tell him that he's wrong. Because he ripped him. My father said, What do you mean? I did not say I've been driving for so I did not say any signpost. So he had an occasion to go to that town again. So he now told himself he's going to count. He said three, I'm going to count. And lo and behold, he counted three. Three signposts warning him of roundabout. I heard you had to call and tell, yeah, true. There were three. If we have the wisdom to warn of impending whatever in front, how much more God? So all we need to do is train ourselves to be able to hear. Train yourself to be able to hear. Train yourself to be able to hear. And when you hear, just do it. Yeah. Some also say, what if I got it wrong? Well, we are human beings. I can assure you, yes, once in a while you might get it wrong. Stand up, dust yourself, and get back it again. Because giving up trying to hear from God and obeying what you hear is putting yourself in a worse predicament than you stepping out in faith, hoping, that was God, let me do it, and still missing it. Yeah? So giving up is worse. Just do it. I believe it's Hebrews. Let us read one more scripture before I round it up. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Yes, chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Yeah. So if you're having challenges hearing precisely from God, because when God speaks, it is your spirit that picks it up. But as you just read now, spirit and soul is combined together. There's no separation. So if you want that distinction to be clear, turn to God's word. Turn to God's word. Spend time in God's word. Spend time with God's word. And with each time you are spending time in God's word, you are separating. So that when God speaks, you hear in your spirit and you know it is Him, and you're able to step out and obey accordingly. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. Amen. Glory, 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 glory be to God. Praying in the Holy Ghost and training yourself to hear from God. For me, those are the two keys I'm taking from 2018 that I'm taking with me into 2019. And I still cannot come over that little phrase that God used Pastor to bring up yesterday, and standing firm. That becomes my new catchphrase. Just stand firm. Stand firm. You've submitted to God. You know His word concerning that situation. You've resisted the devil. You've resisted the devil. You've resisted the devil. You've resisted the devil. Just stand firm. Just stand firm. A couple of months ago, God told me, I gave the body of my son and the blood of my son as your evidence that any one of my words you stand on, you can expect it to happen. You can expect it. There's too much invested in God's word. Too much invested. And what the devil doesn't want you to have, he doesn't want you to taste victory. Because he knows once you have tasted that first victory, that's it, he's finished. So I tell people, start with healing. Start with healing. Because with finances, it's you, God, and somebody else. Yeah, so because when you go to God and say, Lord, you raise a faith request, you believe, you receive it. God now needs to instruct somebody. If that somebody, see, it still boils down to hair. That somebody hears, but says, no, that's not God. But you're still there, yeah. You're not moving. You're standing firm. Those words are coming back. You're standing firm. You've raised your faith request. You're standing firm. God sent somebody to meet that request. Command somebody to meet that request. It depends on that person hearing. But because you are standing firm, eventually God will go to the one He knows listens and obeys immediately. But that's the transaction between you, God, and somebody else. But healing is you and God. Healing is you. And one thing that really blessed my life is because by that time his wife was already living in divine health. She already knew how to get her healing by faith. But he was still struggling. So he said, but he knew how to minister it, but to himself he didn't know. So one day he said he was feeling the symptoms of flu coming. So what he did was said, okay, you know what? I'm gonna take Galatians 3, verse 13. He's gonna take Matthew 8:17, and it's going to take Isaiah 53:5. He started confessing. I said he's going to count how many times he has to repeat it for the healing he needs, for him to feel it in his body. Every so often you have to go back and stop and read those scriptures, yeah, just to refresh his memory. Read it again, but it's continued. Who knows this? I think it's 927 times. Well, 926 times, nothing happened in the physical. But the 927th time, he said, what hit him started from his feet and rushed all the way up his body. By the time he finished praising God, that was it. And that ended the end of him needing to. No, there's nothing wrong with doctors, eh? There's nothing wrong with doctors. Like a couple of weeks ago, this guy called me And he said, oh, brother so-and-so referred me to him that he's trying to sell life insurance. Do I have life insurance? I said, yes. He said, with who? I said, with Jesus. It confused him. He said he wanted to come to my house. I said, no. Unless what you have is better than what God has promised me, you can come to my house and share it. He said, no, he's not trying to compare. He said, just in case. I said, hey, let me stop you there. There's no just in case. Isaiah 53 verse 5 to me is not a just in case. He said, what? I said, it can't happen. Can't happen to me. So what if illness, what's the word, terminal? I said, terminal illness is on the cross. The devil knows those he will bring it to, and I am one. He won't, he can't. If he tries, he will learn that I know that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. He said, oh, okay, it's a good thing. It's a good thing this brother referred to me. I think I need to make you my mentor because I've never heard my pastor preach it this way. No. I just told him straight. I said, no, it can't happen. And that's how. Oh, yes. Once you've tasted it the first time. So I challenge you. Now, I know. Because a couple of weeks ago, I was in that position. And those pictures, they looked real. Because I... And then you can see my children. Okay, John is a little bit subdued today. But one is running that way, John was running the other way. My wife has gone to work. I have to stand up. Hey, I thought. Those thoughts came. But thank God. Thank God I'm not going to Isaiah 53 to go and study. No, it has been studied. It has been received. If he could read, he would not have touched Jesus. But he touched Jesus. He wounded him. He broke him. And that is my evidence of wholeness. So I challenge you, start there. For God's word not to work in healing, the devil would have to give, you have to put it back. All the lashes he put on Jesus. And all the pierces. You have to give it. He will have to restore it first. But can he? So that's how it is impossible for God's word not to come through for you. Once you've made up your mind. You taste that victory and you keep tasting, you keep enjoying it. This lady, I think she was in her hundreds, 110 or 100. She called me a couple of months and said, this one, I get healed every time. When am I going to die? God said, when you're fully satisfied, then you're free to go. You don't need to leave. You don't need to let that. You don't need to let the devil bully you out of your body with sickness. No. When you're satisfied. So when I am satisfied, it won't be sickness. So it won't be sickness that will just matter. No, I'm satisfied. I'll call my family and say, okay, yes, no. Oh, yes, and that reminds me. I'll start here. We don't lose loved ones. We need to change their vocabulary. We said good night. Because we know where they are. If you lose something, you don't know where that thing is, isn't it? So I appreciate how sensitive the time is, especially when a beloved one sleeps. But when they're absent from their body, they're present with God. We miss them. But where they are, they had a choice. They said, I'd rather be where. They've only slept. We've only said goodnight. We haven't lost them. Amen. Praise God. Have you learned something this morning? Stand to your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 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 The victory is His and He has decided to share it with us. The victory is His and He has decided to share it with us. Jesus did not come to earn that victory for himself. No. He had you in mind. 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 And when Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed all principalities and powers, Jesus did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. Yes. He's a crafty person. He will make it look real. And yes, that brings me, that reminds me of something Pastor said. Don't use somebody else's testimony to try and use it to validate your own experience. Just because they stood on God's word and we don't know what happened, you know, they've gone to be with the Lord, or that does not mean, that does not validate your own experience. And just because it happened for somebody else, that is not the reason why it happened for you. The reason why it happened for you is because you've made God's word personal. You've personalized it. You've personalized it. You've tarried with God's word until his word has become your own revelation. When that happens, light turns on, understanding comes. He has to just need to say, no more again. Take your dirty hands, get out. And that's it. That's it. That's it. So one thing I want you to do this morning is make up your mind. Say, Father, make up my mind. I make up your mind. I make up my mind. Isaiah 53 verse 5 is written there for me. Matthew 8:17 is written for me. Galatians 3:13 is written for me. I thank you for doctors. I thank you for the medical practitioners. I thank you for researchers going on, looking for cures. I thank you. I thank you for that. But my evidence of divine health and healing is your word. I'm making up my mind. I'm making up my mind. I'm making up my mind to take you at your word as far as my health is concerned. That's all you have to do this morning. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. And please don't quote me wrong. I haven't said running to a doctor. I ran to a physiotherapist eventually. But running to a doctor doesn't mean... Use both, because the doctor is trying to get you well. Your faith in God's word also too. Is the end result is health. So I haven't said, because you know, it's so easy for you to leave here and think, oh, Pastor said, so that means no. If anything you've heard is putting you in a position of condemnation, it's not God. Because he doesn't condemn. Father, I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for every heart that has received your word. I thank you for the light that has shined. I thank you for the understanding that has come. I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We leave today in a position of supremacy. You said you called them gods to whom your word has come. Your word has come to your people. They are gods in their situations. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. 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 If you are the one God has blessed, shout the loudest hallelujah. Amen.